Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues for this 11 o'clock hour. Hello, hello. Thank you for letting me into your car, your home, your ears. Hopefully your ears. It's a number you can call when you feel lonely. There's always someone here at night. I'm like Motel 6. We leave the light on for you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And I just last week created a Facebook page. Why? Because I'm documenting working from home. So as I'm in the basement doing the broadcast, if you want to see what it's like in not only the studio where producer Mike is sitting, but where I'm sitting in my basement, you can do that. The Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page is right there. I don't feel like I need to do this to you, and I almost feel like it's patronizing to the audience when Chuck Todd over at MSNBC has to put a disclaimer before going into a coronavirus news briefing. So when they go to report during these, you know, daily updates that we're getting from the government, here's how MSNBC handled it yesterday.
The White House coronavirus briefing is about to begin, but before we go to it, we want to note a few things. First of all, we know these briefings have a tendency to veer in a lot of different directions. Not all of them are informative or relevant in the midst of this crisis. Yeah. So we will listen as the president talks, and we will make sure we're giving you a fact check and putting what he says in context on the other side. There are several questions that we have today that we are looking to get answered. You just heard a bunch of them. On masks, are we going to be wearing them? What does our summer look like? What's the situation on testing and the medical equipment? So those are the answers we're hoping to get. And obviously, what is the data that you use to make these decisions? If it veers too much off, we will break it. We will break off and come back here. But for the most part, we want to listen in to the information we hope he is bringing to all of us.
All right. So that's their disclaimer they had to give on MSNBC before going into the daily update from the coronavirus task force. How patronizing is that, honestly? I mean, if you're a viewer of MSNBC, that you have to be told, this is how you should be thinking. We need to let you know that there's a trigger alert. There's going to be the bad orange man standing there and telling you things. Don't worry. We will coddle you all the way through this. And if things get too scary for you, oh, if they get too scary, don't worry. Just cover your eyes. MSNBC, they'll take care of you. This is so ridiculous and stupid. Imagine if I started the show off on Overnight America like that. If I treated you that way, just if I said, wow, we're gonna cover some topics today. I don't know if you're adult enough to have conversations about what's going on in the news, what's going on in St. Louis, what's going on in the community, but we'll give it a try anyway. You know, imagine if that's how I treated you. I mean, it's so smarmy and stupid, and you look at that and you think, you gotta be thinking so little of your audience that you have to do something like that. And they give you a checklist. Here's everything we hope he talks about. So only listen to these things because you're not allowed to learn anything else. You know what else he decided to do today? I thought this was really interesting. So there's a few parts of the press conference, and mostly at the start of it, was talking about some of the threats that we've had to this nation during this coronavirus. Yeah, it's not just fighting the virus. It's also fighting some pretty lousy people that are trying to sneak things into the country and hurt people. So General Miley, I think his name is, on the operations that have been stopped as of late.
We came upon some intelligence some time ago. That the drug cartels, as a result of COVID-19, were going to try to take advantage of the situation and try to infiltrate additional drugs into our country. As we know, the 70,000 Americans die on an average annual basis to drugs. That's unacceptable. We're at war with COVID-19, we're at war with terrorists, and we are at war with the drug cartels as well. This is the United States military. You will not penetrate this country. You will not get past Jump Street. You're not going to come in here and kill additional Americans. And we will marshal whatever assets are required to prevent your entry into this country to kill Americans. So right now, the Navy has marshaled additional Greyhound ships from both PACOM and UCOM and for the Naval Fleet at Norfolk. And they are set sail already, and they are in the Caribbean right now. In addition to that, there's 10 Coast Guard cutters and their Special Operations Forces and Security Force Assistance Brigades, along with Air Force reconnaissance aircraft. The bottom line is you're not going to get through. Now is not the time to try to penetrate the United States with illegal drugs to kill Americans. With the United States military, we will defend our country regardless of the cost.
Yeah, I think that's pronounced General Milley. I said it wrong before. But, man, he is a no-nonsense dude. If you haven't seen what General Milley looks like, you can do a quick Google search. He looks exactly what you would want a general in the United States Army to look like. Doesn't he? I mean, he is the no-joke real deal. Love this guy. His eyebrows tell it all. If you were to go back in time and you had to try to pick a general from the 1950s, whew, this guy, 1940s, whew, this is the guy. And that's not the only thing. We have these drugs and other threats that the nation continues to face. This is Robert O'Brien. He's the NSA advisor on threats.
We're working on a number of important national security priorities as we face this public health crisis. The United States will continue to combat disinformation and fake news about this virus. We will work with the world's largest oil producers to address volatility in global oil markets. We will always protect our servicemen and servicewomen around the world, including in Iraq and Afghanistan. I want the American people to know that President Trump and Vice President Pence and their administration are working tirelessly every day to protect the health and well-being of Americans and respond to the coronavirus. Our adversaries should take note, however, this president has a clear-eyed focus on America's national security interest. And let me be clear, it would be a mistake with terrible consequences for any adversary to attempt to do us harm during this health crisis or ever for that matter.
You know, you probably could relate to this, but there's certain times in your life where if someone starts poking you, you can just let it go, ignore it. And then there's going to be times where your aggravation level is elevated and someone pokes you and you give them that warning like, not now, man. Not now. I'm not dealing with this. And they keep doing it and then they rise to the level where you just snap. I feel like the United States could be at that moment at any given time. There's so many things going on right now. If someone tries to take advantage of the vulnerable state where we just have been paying so much attention to this coronavirus that they decide, oh, this will be the time to try to mess with you, that is not the time to mess with us. It's, you know what, fine. We're going to let the military handle this. Give us something else to talk about. And that is how it's playing out with Iran. Okay, so we're going to talk about that coming up in a moment, but I do have a question for you, and after the break, it'll make it clear why I'm asking you. So let's say we have the ability to pull all of our funding away from other countries. So we're given billions of dollars here and billions of dollars there, and you know this adds up over time to trillions of dollars of foreign aid that we're given to all these other countries, some of which don't necessarily need them anymore. So the president's starting to talk about, I think we're going to pull back. And I think we're going to use this money. We're going to earmark it for something else. Well, how would you like to see this money earmarked? Would you rather see the money be used to pay off some of our debt? Or would you rather see the money be used to fund infrastructure upgrades? You know, bridges, roads, schools, things like that. Because we're still trying to figure out how we're going to fund this sort of thing. What if we just pull back and say, okay, we're done. We're investing in America from here on out. Because the president floated an idea today that I think get a lot of people interested. We'll talk about that coming up next. Your number, 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120. So let's talk about how we could maybe save some money and save it on ourselves, perhaps. That would be a nice addition. We'll take some more of your calls coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Overnight America continues. Yes, yes, we do. So if you're just listening with the radio on tonight in your household, thank you for doing that. It's fun, isn't it? It is fun just to have that companion in the house. You feel the urge to pick up your phone and call. You know, we are talking some coronavirus, and still there's not a lot of new information. I mean, they've asked the questions if there's anything, but when you're doing these daily updates, sometimes you just don't get new information on the daily. Most of the new information that came out today was a potential risk that Iran may be planning an attack. And President Trump was talking about that.
You tweeted earlier today that there was, you have uncovered intelligence that there is a sneak attack being planned against American troops, American assets in Iraq. Are we talking about Kataib Hezbollah again? Also,
we don't want to say, but we just have information that they were planning something, and it's very good information. It was led by Iran, not necessarily Iran, but by groups supported by Iran, but that to me is Iran. And we're just saying, don't do it. Don't do it. It would be a very bad thing for them if they did it.
The last time they did do it, in early March at Camp Taji, there was a response from the military against Kataib Hezbollah and Kataib Hezbollah alone.
That was a very powerful response, by the way. That response knocked out five different places, but it also took out a lot of very bad people.
Your tweet seemed to suggest, though, that if it happens again, it may go up the food chain.
Well, that was a very big response. You know, we knocked out a lot. We looked, they hit one site, we hit five big ones and ammunition sites. You saw what happened. And I won't say how many people were killed, but some bad people were killed, and a lot of them. That was a big response. But this response will be bigger if they do something.
Yeah, don't cut it. And this is what I enjoyed that he mentioned about Iran. If you do something, if you're thinking about doing something, don't you dare. And it's not a go ahead and try us, kind of what he had with North Korea there for a while. It's not one of those deals. It's a, man, don't mess with me now. This is not the time, right? Again, when you are when your aggravation level is high and you've already had enough, you're like, enough. You know, when you were growing up and you knew dad was getting angry and you knew that it would just take one bad thing to set him off and you said, oh, I'm just going to do it anyway. And then you knew it was an immediate mistake, right? You knew immediately that you shouldn't have done that. I feel like that's where we are as a country right now. President Trump is thinking to himself, we're going to beat this virus. It's something we're dealing with on a day-by-day basis. But man, give me the opportunity to call my general in here, and I will be happy to take my mind off of this for a moment and wipe out anyone that tries to kill Americans or our soldiers. So that, to me, is an interesting way to start the press conference, because he was tweeting about it and reporters were talking about it. What I was most interested in today is the laying the groundwork for infrastructure change. It seems like that is one of those deals that are becoming more popular. So what do we find in this coronavirus fight? We find that we are giving foreign aid to other countries. We are trying to help out with equipment. And we know that other countries need help, starting to find out that maybe they're not managing this correctly. Maybe we find out that it's more than mismanagement. Maybe they're committing some fraud. Maybe there's other processes in place that would say to us, maybe it's better we don't start giving these things out when we're in desperate need for all of these things. So let's back it up and say, on a grander scale, we look at all the foreign aid that we're given to all these other countries, and I would wish Rand Paul was listening right now that would call in and we can talk about this, because this is something Rand Paul has been preaching forever. The idea that instead of being in 20 wars, how about we cut that down to, I don't know, 5, and we save that money for something we can use and spend it on America and Americans. This has been a criticism for a long time. How many countries actually need our foreign aid. Okay, there's some that are in desperate need and some that are not. Why are we, and this is a big part of President Trump's when he was campaigning, giving money to countries that could in essentially have strong enough economies to pay us for our services, either with military or whatever else we have to offer? Why don't we start to pick up and have them, I don't know, give us something in return? The interesting thing is President Trump was talking about that, and we spend a lot of time looking at our policies, but never acting on them. He said, after this $2 trillion stimulus package, maybe it's about time we start to look at all the IOUs that we have across the world right now. Maybe we have to figure out, how are we going to make up for this? Because we got other things we'd like to spend money on. I don't want to spend money like a drunken sailor, but that's what the United States is thinking about right now. We got other things to do. $2 trillion is a lot. Hopefully we make some of that back through the loan process of allowing these 0% loans, because we want the economy to stay strong. And if we want to continue to grow, we're going to have to keep the economy strong. But how about we look at ways we can start cost cutting and saving? And we start saying, okay, the money that's going out, what if we kept it in? Could we do better things for us if we kept it in? Listen to what he was talking about, overseas spending.
We will have spent $8 trillion, and, you know, it's way back, we're way pulled back, but we will have spent $8 trillion in the Middle East, and yet our roads are in bad shape, our bridges, our tunnels, bad shape, and we're going to be the talk of the world again soon. But we want $2 trillion. We will have spent in the Middle East, and all we got out of it was death. And cost. But all we got out of it was death. Millions of people. You have to look at the other side, too. Millions and millions of people killed. Our great soldiers, thousands killed, so many wounded, hurt. And yet, when we want to go and fix a road someplace, we want to do what we want to do in our country. You know, it's time that we spend money on our country. That's what we're going to do. It's time that we start spending on our roads and our bridges and our schools and all of the things that we're supposed to be spending on. And people are finally getting used to it. And you could look at all of what we've done in the Middle East, way back in so many different places, way back in other countries too, by the way. And I've gone to other countries that are very rich. I said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to reimburse us for our costs. They don't even want to know what I'm talking about. It takes them 20 minutes to figure it out because nobody's ever asked them to do that. And they're doing it. They're doing it, and they have no choice. They have to do it. So it's time that we start spending on the USA. Okay.
All right, so that's it. It's time to start spending on the USA. It's a time like this where you write that check, $2 trillion, and you look at that and say, how in the world are we going to do this? And all the politicians are salivating, thinking of the idea, oh, look at all this money. Look at all this special interest. We're spending like crazy. Spend, spend, spend. We might have to spend again. Oh, and then they think about it and they say, oh, it looks like good old Uncle Sam is writing the check. They did it for the $2 trillion. Maybe it's time we continue to spend. You know, on a personal level, let me just say this real quick, because some people may be experiencing this right now. And I can tell you, psychologically, there's got to be some sort of name for what people are doing. But this is what ended up happening. They signed the stimulus. My wife and I look at each other and they say, ooh, we're going to be getting some money from the government. This is kind of cool. What are we going to do? What are we going to spend it on? This is extra money we were not accounting for. You know, luckily, I'm still employed here at KMOX. I'm still doing my show, and I hope it stays that way. And I'm thinking, okay, well, things are going to hopefully be all right here in a few months when they open things back up. Hopefully, there's no drastic moves that are made. So how about we think about how we're going to spend this money? So, you know, my wife made a purchase. I made a purchase. We made a purchase of something we wouldn't normally buy. And you know what happened after that? I thought, well, maybe I can do another purchase. You know, that was easy. That was easy to go online and click a button and have something shipped to my home. You know, I might as well do that again. And then my wife starts thinking that way. Ooh, we got more money from the government. Maybe I'll just buy this other thing. And is that the way Congress is looking at this? We get $2 trillion and they're thinking to themselves, wow, that felt great. Oh, man, I want to do it again. this is the time. Maybe we start building roads, in schools, in bridges, and let's add a couple of other $1 trillion onto the top, because why not? We're in the spirit, the giving spirit, and we're already so far into debt, we might as well do it anyway. You know what I would like to see? This is what I would like to see. I would like to see Donald Trump, as a leader, go out there and say, we're going to cut back on foreign aid. All this money we spent on the Middle East when it came to these wars, in our security and all of this, you know what? We've done enough already. We're going to start pulling it back. We don't need to be in all these wars. We're going to save money. We're going to spend our money here in the United States and find different ways to use it that'll be more productive for American citizens. We're going to use that savings, and we're going to try to cut back on some of this debt we have, but we're also going to try to move forward because we know we have to. There's ways that you can do it both. You can spend some of this money that you may be taking back or pulling back from, and you may be paying Americans, giving them jobs in a time where jobs are needed in order to build some of these things, you know, these government contracts that does supply, at least, you know, it's not going to be a job they'll have for the rest of their life, but it does give them a nice paying job, and we have a lot of people here in the United States that could use that. So is this how they're going to do it? Is this another way to stimulate the economy? Let me ask this to you. So President Trump goes out there, he says, we spend too much overseas, we need to start spending it here locally, in the United States being local. Do you support that? Do you think this is the time to do it? 314-436-7900. You can call or text that. Also 800-925-1120. It's weird. Every night we talk coronavirus, we get a lot of calls, people talking about that. I'm trying my absolute best to talk about things that are relevant right now that are not specifically about this virus. I mean, it's about the virus, but it's also about big picture things that are going on. I'm hoping we can do that too. I'm hoping it's just, yeah, we're just not getting calls from people that say, hey, am I going to get my stimulus check? Am I eligible for it? You know, I'm not the expert on something like that, but I do want to hear what you think about this, because this is your tax money. This is your spending. This is the future of the United States. Is this how we rebuild the United States? Is this the time to do it? I want to take your calls coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Thank you for bringing me into your home. I may be shoved in the corner or on your kitchen counter right now, but I'm just honored to be in there. And the phone number is the same, 314-436-7900. And producer Mike was asking me what I spent my money on because, you know, I said I made a couple of purchases, things I wouldn't have necessarily have bought. But, you know, I was in the spirit of buying things, being stuck at home for a while and who knows how much longer. I bought a Nintendo Switch. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had a Nintendo. I grew up with the Nintendo. I played that Super Nintendo until my fingers bled. It was the summer of 69. No, that's not how the song goes. But, you know, I played that forever, and then it got to a point where I was going through high school, I had a PlayStation, and then when I got to college, I stopped playing video games. You know, I had other interests, let's put it that way. And, you know, college was fun, and, you know, when I got out of college, never got back into video games. I've, you know, played a game or two here or there, but never really got into it. But now that my son's five, and he is out of preschool, we got nothing to do. You know, he plays out in the backyard a lot, but it's not like, you know, he can do that 24/7. So I said, you know, maybe it's time we get a Nintendo. I can play some games with him. It'll help kill some time. So I purchased one. It's on its way. I'm looking forward to playing it. That's how I spent my money. Yeah, in case you were wondering, buying a Nintendo. 314-436-7900. A lot of these articles that are being written now is just showing how dirty China was when it came to misrepresenting their coronavirus numbers and holding back on reporting it to begin with. And it's not a good look for China right now. I think a lot of people are wondering what China's going to have to be held. How are they going to be held accountable? You know, the way that international courts work and things, I've heard different lawyers talk about this on some shows I listen to. So essentially, China would have to agree to allow to be sued by an international court, which is never going to happen. So is China going to step up and admit their mistake and try to pour some help into the areas that need it? Probably not. It goes to show you how difficult it is to work with countries like that. If anything, this is a wake-up call that we need to be self-reliant and not reliant on China for anything, because what good is that going to do? I mean, we had a lot of great years where we got cheap clothing and merchandise and things from them, and I'm sure those distribution centers will still stay open. But if I were the United States, I'd start thinking, get out of the pharmaceuticals that are coming from China, the different the antibodies and the different, I forgot, but that things that come, anything that is being produced from there that we need and we can't get a hold of in the future if they decide to withhold it or something like this happens. We don't want shortages, disruptions, and these sort of things. So this is what we got to move away from. You know, we just re-signed that NAFTA deal, the one with Canada, Mexico, and the United States. If we're trying to pull businesses back here, because the whole idea is we want manufacturing to come back at least to this area. So if it's in Mexico, it's better in Mexico than it is in China, but there's got to be different standards of how these things work out. It's better over here on this side of the world than it is outsourcing it there. And if we can find an agreement where this kind of balance works out, this is a great opportunity for businesses to come back here. And that agreement is the bedrock that they'll be able to use. This would be a great thing. A couple of things from the press conference from earlier today, too. Because I think this talks a little bit about what we're experiencing in Missouri. So why not shut down the entire country? That's what a reporter asked.
And that's how you stop the spread, is staying home. Sure. Why not take the power out of the hands of the governors and you just issue a stay-at-home order for every
state in this country? States are different, and I understand that Governor of Florida, great Governor Ron DeSantis, issued one today. And that's good. That's great. But there are some states that are different. There are some states that don't have much of a problem. There are some, well, they don't have the problem. They don't have thousands of people that are positive, or thousands of people that even think they might have it, or hundreds of people in some cases. So you have to look at states. You have to give a little bit of flexibility. I mean, if a state in the Midwest, or if Alaska, as an example, doesn't have a problem, it's awfully tough to say, close it down.
Yeah.
So we have to have a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah. Ultimately, you should be pretty happy that he is leaving this up to the states to decide what would be best, mostly because, you know, as president, he has some sort of authority and he can set federal guidelines. But how important is it to say that, yes, states, you still have your state rights, you still have your ability to govern the way that you think your state should because you know your people? You know, a lot of the design of the way government is set up is based on that very fundamental idea that state rights are important. So what does it show here in Missouri? So far, we have 605 cases reported in St. Louis, 177 cases in St. Louis City. So the county, 605, in the city, 605. In the county, 605. In the city, 176. If you go to St. Charles, 93 positive cases. To the south, 38 positive cases in Jefferson. And in Franklin County, 16 positive cases. But you can go down to like Washington County, zero there, zero in Madison, zero in Iron, zero in Dent. There's a lot of areas that have zero in this listening area. No positive cases of the coronavirus. And 1,581 total across the state. And when you look at some of these other states, the ones that are getting hit real hard, Illinois is getting hit incredibly hard right now. New York getting hit hard. Detroit and Michigan getting hit very hard. California getting hit hard. Our situation is different, and I think it's a lot better that Governor Parson realized that there are these federal guidelines. And if you have to, I don't know, knock the dial up a little bit here in the state, you can, but you don't necessarily have to right now. You just don't. One of the interesting things is that we really don't have a lot of data being reported to the Missouri Health Department when it comes to where they came in contact with this coronavirus. So of those 1,581, basically 1,500 of them have no idea where they got the virus. Some of them came in direct contact. Some of them were traveling and they guessed that's where they got it from. But for the most part, they just don't know. There's so many unknowns to this coronavirus. And I wanted to play this one more too. Dr. Fauci talking about these guidelines and different things that have been put in. He was given an update on some of the vaccines and some of the different treatment ideas.
Are we looking at living with some sort of social distancing guidelines essentially until there's treatment or a vaccine? For example, people looking forward to the summer talk about, you know, going to baseball games, going to concerts. We have political conventions over the summer. Are things like that possible or safe without a vaccine or a treatment in place?
Yeah, I think if we get to the part of the curve that Dr. Berg showed yesterday, when it goes down to essentially no new cases, no deaths at a period of time, I think it makes sense that you're going to have to relax social distancing. The one thing we hopefully would have in place, and I believe we will have in place, is a much more robust system to be able to identify someone who's infected, isolate them, and then do contact tracing. Because if you have a really good program of containment that prevents you from ever having to get into mitigation, we're in mitigation right now. That's what the social and physical distancing is. The ultimate solution to a virus that might keep coming back would be a vaccine. In fact, I was on the weekly conference call with the WHO-sponsored group of all the health leaders in the world who are dealing with this. And we all came to the agreement that we may have cycling with another season, we'll be much better prepared, we likely will have interventions, but the ultimate game changer in this will be a vaccine, the same way a vaccine for other diseases that were scourges in the past that now we don't even worry about.
And Tony, how are they doing with the vaccine study?
I mean, the vaccine is, as I said, it's on target. We're still in phase one. There were three doses that we had to test. We've been through the first two doses. We're on the highest dose now. When we get that data, it'll take a few months to get the data to feel confident to go to the phase two. And then a few months from now, we'll be in phase two. And I think we're right on target for the year to a year and a half.
Okay. So that's where it's at right now. We had a caller ask the question. Let's see. Bob was asking, wondered if there was any Corona numbers for Canada and Mexico. So John Hopkins, they've been posting these numbers, and they've been putting a pretty good map together of all of the different regions that have been experiencing this. So as a global pandemic, let me see if I can get the full numbers here. In Canada, there is 9,731 cases being reported, but it doesn't say how many they tested. You know, what I'm more interested in is showing the percentage of those tested and showing positive. Canada has a huge advantage because they're not densely populated like the Italy's and the Spain's and the China's of the world. And they're also not populated like the United States. I mean, geographically, they are so spread out in their major centers, and then there's very little communities in between. So you got your major epicenters, the Vancouver's of the world, the, you know, the Edmonton's, the Toronto's, the Quebec's, the Ottawa's, you know, things like that. Areas that are having individual experiences with this, but they're so spread out, they have a huge advantage for that. Let me see if I can find Mexico, because Mexico has 1,378 cases being reported. But then again, it doesn't show you how many testing they've had. United States has ramped up testing. I think Vice President Pence said there are, 1.5 million cases they've tested so far? I mean, it's a large number of cases. Here in the United States, we're at 216,000 positive cases there. And of those, we've reported 5,000 deaths. And big areas, New York, man, they're the ones getting hit the hardest. New York City, 1,374 of those. So our largest and most populated city, that's getting hit the hardest. So, Bob, I hope that answers your question. Yeah, testing was going to bring out these cases because we've done priority testing. And the reason we've done priority testing is because we want to make sure those that have the greater chance of, you know, having all the symptoms, maybe knew someone that traveled, were traveling themselves, would get first in line for treatment. Because obviously, if they're already showing these symptoms and they're starting to become severe, we got to get them in immediately to get them treated. Because what happens? We don't want them spreading it to anyone else, but also we can't have everyone loading the system at the same time. So get those ones most likely needed in there to get the treatment. Now, once we start to unroll other treatments, this is going to be huge. If we can get this this treatment that they've been lauding and saying it's been working great, the malaria treatment, that's going to be a good thing too, because as they continue to do testing, they're going to find other ways to really make sure if you don't have to go to the hospital, if you can do this treatment at your house, this is going to be the best route for you so we don't overload the system. I mean, what I think they're doing is everything they can to prevent those numbers from happening here in the United States. But as they do, you know, as we go from 1.5 million tests to, you know, 3 million tests, let's say when they double it, I don't think we're going to see the same number of people testing positive, because what we're doing now is going to test the highest risk, and then eventually in the next million, we're going to start testing the middle risk, and then in the next million or whatever, we're going to test lower risk. So as we start to, you know, self-distance ourselves, we're going to flush out the opportunity to spread this to other people. We may be able to just defeat this thing naturally. Our bodies, and some people are better at it than others. If they're young and healthy, they might not even realize they had this thing. It doesn't mean that testing positive is you're going to need a hospital bed. It means that sometimes you're just going to have to sit and wait and see how your body reacts to it, because they just don't know yet. So once we start testing the middle to low risk individuals, and then we're going to have these tests that pump them out much quicker, we're not going to see the giant hill that they originally predicted. We're going to see a much lower hill, and eventually that hill's just going to, the modeling is just going to go out. Honestly, I think they're looking at, even though they look at what they say is keeping the course, 100,000 people could die from this to up to 240,000. Honestly, my gut feeling says that number's going to be a lot lower. I don't think this, you know, people will replay these predictions. But if we hit 100,000, personally, I'm going to be really surprised. I think they're preparing us for the worst, which is 100,000, just in case. But I feel like we have all these other things in the pipeline that we're going to be able to get through this. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. And every night we've been playing a patriotic song because, after all, we need to be reminded that as a country, we are still strong. We are together. We'll get through this together. We'll defeat this. We'll do it. We're going to do it. Let's not forget. So tonight, our patriotic song will be Elvis Presley singing America the Beautiful, and we'll play that tonight. And, you know, if you got a song in mind, a patriotic song, why don't you send me a message on Facebook, Ryan Wrecker Radio is how you do it. Make sure you get the fan page, Ryan Wrecker Radio, and shoot me a message on there. You can text it and whatever it is, at Ryan Wrecker on Twitter. A couple of different ways for you to reach the show. I had a text message come in Let me read this real quick. It said, we are not aware the company was going to continue to pay us until last week. A majority of us have already filed for unemployment. However, for some, it is less than $920 a week. So my question is, when we file our claim each week and enter our income, if it is less than $920, we'll be paid the difference because of the stimulus package. So this is how I understand it to work. And this is going to be a question for officials, and I'm sure it's on there somewhere. But basically, when you would file for unemployment through the state of Missouri, they would give you X amount that you'd be qualified for. And normally, it's a lot less than what you would normally make, right? They don't give you your full whatever your salary was or whatever you're making prior to being let go or furloughed or whatever it may be. But now, because of the stimulus package, up to 4 months, they're going to make it so it's 100% of what you were making. So when you file through Missouri, you should be getting bigger payments through them through unemployment for a period of time. Not forever, but for a couple of month period of time. That's how I understand it to work. And the whole idea of they're trying to get the states to talk to the federal government in order how they're going to get this money for it. So the accounting for it, that's going to be a big mess. I don't know when they're going to have that worked out. Hopefully sooner than later, but they're still trying to figure it out. That's what I read last online. So I hope that makes sense. But you know, for your individual question, you might want to look that up online. All right, let's bring on some Elvis Presley, good old America the Beautiful, to end this hour. Something patriotic for all of us here on Overnight America, KMOX.
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious sky. For amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And he crowned you flagrant with brotherhood of sea to shine the sun.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.